Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We wish to again greet our conventional affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a recent addition for us, a 50,000-watt station that will expand our outreach in the American South in the days ahead. We greet those fine folks and greet the listeners of that station, even as we continue to be about the business of informing you and giving you alternatives to the things going on in corporate media. At 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, I hope to have William Grigg with us. If you're not familiar with William Norman Grigg, he's one of the real giants on the American right and has been for a very long period of time. I've never talked to Will before, and we've had some recent email exchanges trying to set up this appearance on this show. But when he was connected with the New American, the John Birch Society magazine, The New American, I used to read him with great frequency. He is an amazing writer and an amazing thinker. And checking some of his particulars over the weekend, I came across the Wikipedia online encyclopedia entry for William Norman Grigg, which spoke of the fact that he had been influenced by anti-communism, constitutionalism, and libertarianism. And it'll be interesting to sort some of that out with Will later and to talk about the extent to which the American conservative movement is in crisis, it seems to me, for we have been going down the wrong road for a long period of time in regard to so-called mainstream American conservatives becoming more and more conversant with the Israeli lobby and with a militaristic, expansionistic, neoconservative foreign policy abroad that basically was a repudiation of all of the standards of the old right. We've seen the so-called mainstream American right moving away from any discussion of the issue of direct federal taxation on American citizens. We've been watching, of course, the fact that in the mainstream American right movement, there's no longer any discussion of the Federal Reserve Board. And, of course, at its worst, talking about the way in which a number of people on the establishment American right have been doing business with George W. Bush for a very long period of time, there seems to be little acknowledgement of the fact that in regard to public debt and the expansion of government, that America is in the worst shape that it's ever been in. So William Norman Grigg, I trust, will be able to cover some of those materials with us at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. And we will keep you posted in regard to all the things that we think you need to know about today in regard to the news and the most significant news stories of today. Clearly, when we look at the Middle East, not much has changed. There's another dreadful story about the downing of another American helicopter over there that in this particular case allegedly involved nothing more than engine failure. Doesn't change the fact that we lost some additional people through that tragedy. As a matter of fact, the official total, as near as I can come up with it, is 8 today, that 8 U.S. troops were killed in this Afghan crash. The military is saying that a Chinook helicopter reported engine problems before going down, and CBS News indicates, of course, that after this radioing in of an unexplained loss of power and engine failure, a military helicopter crashed early Sunday in southeastern Afghanistan, killing 8 U.S. service members. 14 survived with injuries. The other things that continue to go on in regard to Baghdad, it's really hard from day to day to distinguish these accounts from one another because they are so absolutely frequent, unfortunately, in regard to what's happening over there. There is, as of today, yet another bombing that has taken place in Baghdad that has killed scores of people. And we also note that there were some blasts on an India passenger train that killed 67 people in the last 24 hours. More indication of troubles ahead. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625. Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We hope to be joined shortly after 9 o'clock this morning Central Standard Time by William Norman Grigg, one of the real giants in the American right as a writer and thinker. We're going to be talking with Will at that time, hopefully, about a series of things that relate to the crisis that the American right finds itself in today. Where when we think of the American right, we're hopefully talking about a movement that believes in less government rather than more, which believes in having a government that is out of debt, and which believes in a strong manufacturing sector for our own economy, and that believes in staying out of the affairs of foreign nations and foreign governments and staying out of foreign wars for the most part, unless there is some absolutely compelling reason that beyond a shadow of a doubt indicates that we have no alternative to war. It seems to me that when you look at the whole history of the move from republic to empire in the United States, we are talking about the ever-increasing influence of international central banking in the affairs of this country. We're talking about massive levels of public and private debt, the worst foreign trade deficits in our history, an entire move toward globalism that, of course, seems to be culminating now in this movement toward a so-called North American Union. We are speaking about a foreign policy which is mired in interventionism and foreign entanglements and an ongoing state of war and militarization abroad. None of this, I hasten to add, had anything to do with what the American right stood for historically. And yet it seems that so many people today who identify themselves with being conservatives support those policies, at least as those policies are embodied in the current chief executive of the United States. So again, with William Norman Grigg at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, or a little bit thereafter, we're going to be examining some of these trends and how all of this has happened and what Will thinks about the future in regard to both domestic and foreign policy, and really what the American right can do, if there's time even to do it, in recovering its soul. We have seen, again, an incredible metamorphosis on the part of the American right wing in my lifetime, to where what used to be called the America First movement and what used to be a movement that was emphasizing individual freedom vis-a-vis the central state has now become a movement which has an awful lot of apologists for things that the old American right would have never had anything to do with. So that's where we hope to go this morning, a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, with William Norman Grigg. Series of news stories that are very curious today. And by the way, as we look at some of these, we're going to be through the first couple of hours of this show talking about some things that have to do with foreign and international policy, particularly as it relates to this crisis with both Iraq and Iran. We're also going to be looking at some fascinating cultural and historical stories that have appeared today that show that our difficulty is not simply with foreign policy, but with what has been a sea change in American culture. I'm trying to get Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars rescheduled on this show sometime between now and the 4th of March to talk about a very special piece that he has authored entitled Cardinal B, B-E-A, Cardinal B and the Jews, which will go back to the role of the Zionists in regard to influencing the events that led to Vatican II, the Roman Catholic Church's Vatican II. This is something that I have not known very much about, have learned more about through Dr. Jones and several other people, and it suggests a much wider trend in regard to the Zionist influence in American culture and in American religious structures generally that has led to a much wider crisis, it seems to me, than simply the whole question of the influence of Israel over American foreign policy. We're talking about other events that have been perhaps 45 to 50 years in duration at least as we have seen their most obvious manifestations, that suggest a deeper need on our part to understand these cultural and spiritual influences, because as the culture has gone down, it seems to me that that in turn has brought resistance to some of these dreadful political trends down, and this has led to what up to now has been the ongoing increase in the power of the globalists and a decrease in the influence of people who actually believe in the Constitution of the United States. Both with Dr. E. Michael Jones and also with Dr. Robert Sungenis, I want to explore some of these ideas. Robert Sungenis is going to be on this show on Friday for the entire 3 hours from 7 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, among other things talking about neoconservatives and the Jewish connection. Dr. Robert Sungenis is someone that I have discovered more recently through the auspices of the Lutheran newspaper Christian News, which has been covering his segment on neoconservatism as a series. But Dr. Sungenis is himself a Roman Catholic. You can check out his website at CatholicINTL.com. The name of that organization is Catholics Apologetics International. I am not a Roman Catholic. I'm an Evangelical Lutheran. So there are some things that I would disagree with Dr. Sungenis on in terms of theology, but I think that that's going to be largely irrelevant to what we're going to talk about on Friday when we're going to zero in on this whole business of neoconservatism and the Jewish connection that's going to lead us into the larger discussion of the Jewish lobby as well as some things related to the Babylonian Talmud and other things in Judaism theologically that have not really been understood by many Americans and by many Protestant evangelicals in regard to what all of the implications of that happen to be. So that will be Friday with Dr. Robert Sungenis. And I think that show, in tandem with whenever we get Dr. E. Michael Jones scheduled of Culture Wars, will bring to the fore once again some of the larger issues that I have been less conversant with in the last 20 years of my life that I need to know a lot more about in order to understand the nature of what has happened in our society and who's behind it and who's funding it and what the end game is. So we will keep an eye on that one in the days ahead. As far as cultural things are concerned, as they relate to the political realm, we were talking last week about the way in which Mitt Romney and John McCain have been involved in trying to sell themselves as candidates to the Christian religious right. This is particularly incredible with Mitt Romney, for as the Washington Post reported last week, he had made statements when he was running for the U.S. Senate at one time in Massachusetts, that he would do more for the gay rights movement than Ted Kennedy. Romney, of course, was also an avid supporter of abortion rights and other things, and was always well port of center of what where one would expect a Mormon political candidate to be on some of these social issues. But now, obviously, he's trying to cover his tracks, and the Washington Post continues with this today in regard to a piece on page A04, where John Solomon tells us that Mitt Romney now supports Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And Mr. Solomon at the Washington Post goes on to say today that former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who once advocated allowing gays to serve openly in the military, said yesterday that he does not think the Pentagon should change its, quote, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, unquote, policy in the midst of the Iraq War. Quote, Don't Ask, Don't Tell has worked well. We're in the middle of a conflict. Now is not the time for a change in that regard, and I don't have a policy posture as to allowing gays in the military to serve there openly, unquote, Romney, a presidential candidate, said on ABC's This Week. Romney also addressed his revised positions over the years on subjects key to social conservatives and discussed his Mormon faith. Both are issues that have emerged early in his presidential bid. Quote, I'm not running for pastor-in-chief. I'm running for commander-in-chief, unquote, he said, dismissing concerns that his faith might affect his policies by saying all religions share common values as, quote, one family of humanity, unquote. On other key issues, Romney said, quote, he opposes discrimination against gays and lesbians, but supports a federal amendment defining marriage as limited to a man and a woman, quote, marriage is primarily an institution to help develop children and children's development. I believe that that is greatly enhanced by access to a mom and a dad, unquote, he said. Romney went on to say that President Bush's decision to increase the number of troops in Iraq is the, quote, right thing to do, unquote. Number three, Romney believes that, quote, abortion is taking human life, unquote. Although Romney ran for the U.S. Senate in 1994 as a pro-choice candidate, he said yesterday that the decision on whether abortions should be legal should be left to the states. Quote, there are lots of things that are morally very difficult and in some cases repugnant that we let states decide, unquote, he said. Romney's wife, Ann, joined him for the interview. She said she and her husband discussed before he decided to run whether the stress of a campaign might aggravate her multiple sclerosis. That's an interesting story, which I was not aware of in terms of Mrs. Romney. The Washington Post talks about today. But suffice it to say that it's clear to me that we have two issues with Mitt Romney that will not go away, among many others I would trust. One is the way in which there has been such an obvious flip-flop in terms of what he believes on these social issues, where a man who has made it a point to run from what I would call the far left on the issues of abortion and homosexuality, and to run in that regard in past elections in Massachusetts as a far lefty on these positions, who was a member of the Mormon Church, that's a very curious phenomenon to me. But now, of course, that we're in a presidential election cycle and the man wants the Republican nomination, he's meeting with Franklin Graham and Jerry Falwell and others, and revising his position on all these issues. That is very curious and very coincidental. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at a series of news items today. Hope to have William Norman Grigg on at around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, to talk about all of the things that are going on with the American right in this country, both that wing of it that is still true to the traditional principles of the Constitution, as opposed to that wing of the American right that unfortunately has gone in the direction of Bush-Rockefeller republicanism, with all that that implies. And I think William Grigg will be a person of tremendous value to you and to me in regard to sorting through some things and having some inside information and discernment in regard to these American presidential elections coming up. Frankly, I have to tell you, watching the front-runners, the so-called front-runners for the Republican nomination, which I assume at this point would be Giuliani, John McCain, and Mitt Romney in some order thereof, that this is a very, very grim thing to me, because we're not simply talking about the fact that on the traditional so-called moral issues, there's a real disconnect between all three of these guys and what most of the folks who listen to this network would hold. But even more importantly, on the issues of the size of government and government debt and federal taxation, direct federal taxation on American citizens, none of these people are talking about those issues, for I think for some very obvious reasons. And the other thing that comes up very, very quickly is that on this war, it seems to me that Romney and McCain and Giuliani are basically on the same page in regard to supporting what has been the present course in American foreign policy and in Iraq under George W. Bush. I think that that's a very bad and regrettable development. And what it suggests is that ultimately the true American right has absolutely no stake in this presidential election whatsoever, either with the Romneys and McCains of this world and the Giulianis of this world on the one hand, or the folks who are vying for the support of the Israeli lobby in the Democratic Party. If we check out John Edwards and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, just to name three, some of the things we've talked about in recent days underscore the extent to which those folks are lining up for their cash receipts and coming across with policy positions that certainly suggest that they are also bought and paid for in this entire situation. The long and the short of it is that if you believe in an America First foreign policy and believe that we ought to be about the business of doing what's good for America politically and militarily and economically, to the exclusion of the rest of the world, there is no choice in this election, with the singular exception of Ron Paul, the Republican congressman from the 14th Congressional District in Texas, of course, who has set up an exploratory committee, and I think at some point will announce that he's going to run. But the long and the short of it is that we all know that Congressman Paul is a long shot, to say the least, in this whole thing. And nonetheless, it is refreshing to know that there is going to be at least one voice in one of the major party primaries that is pretty much a sincere person and who takes, for the most part, what I think are the right stances on the right issues, but who will be fighting the same kind of uphill battle in the Republican primaries that I used to fight as a volunteer for Pat Buchanan and presidential primaries, and the same type of uphill fight that I had as a Constitution Party candidate running from the U.S. Senate race in 2000 against both Roth and Carper. These are not easy matters, and when you get to the whole question of getting your message out, that's certainly important, but when you start talking about things like ballot access and corporate money and media coverage, those tend to be the three hurdles that an honest candidate has an almost impossible time overcoming. Ron Paul, I trust, running as a Republican, will not run into the ballot issue necessarily. But as far as attracting the kind of financial support that he needs to run an effective race, that's going to be an uphill battle for all the obvious reasons. And in terms of media coverage, quite clearly the media will have a vested interest in simply ignoring Ron Paul's candidacy. And that's the other thing that causes this entire deck to be stacked. But certainly when we look at the most likely winners of the Republican and Democratic presidential nominations for 2008, this is grim business, folks. And it reminds me very much of what I was telling my church about a few days ago when we were having a class and we were discussing King Josiah of Judah, who was the last good king of Judah among the 19 kings that existed after the division of Israel into northern and southern kingdoms. Josiah, of course, was killed in 605 B.C. at the Battle of Carchemish. And between 605 B.C. and the time of the Babylonian exile in 586 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, there were a series of kings of Judah, three to be exact, who were absolutely awful, culminating in Zedekiah. And these kings, Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin and Zedekiah, I think pretty much tell the tale of the tape by fast-forwarding from the 6th century B.C. to the 21st century A.D. and tracking the present state of the American Empire. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Back. This is Mark Dancross, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We hope to be hooked up with William Norman Grigg at shortly after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. And we're also going through a series of news items today that I think will be of particular interest to you. We've been talking about a couple of cultural things related to a future appearance on this show of Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars. We are still working on getting that date finalized. And as I mentioned, Friday, for the entire 3 hours, we're going to have Dr. Robert Sungenis on the show from Catholics Apologetics International. If you are a Lutheran or an evangelical Protestant, or for that matter, an agnostic or an atheist, don't be put off by the title Catholics Apologetics International. For the kinds of topics I'm going to be talking with Dr. Robert Sungenis about on Friday are absolutely essential to our understanding of the neoconservative movement and the larger issue of the Israeli lobby and how that impacts our lives. And Dr. Sungainis is going to be going into some things in his articles that I'm currently working my way through that are virtually never discussed in American schools for some very obvious reasons that will come up on Friday. And this is going to be a show that I think will definitely be well worth your time. And have your friends tune into that, because this will open up your eyes, I think, in regard to some of these larger issues going on in our own society culturally, and certainly in terms of our economy and our foreign policy that remain largely uncovered by corporate media for, again, some very obvious reasons. So that'll be coming up Friday, 7 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, with Dr. Robert Sungainis of Catholics Apologetics International. Getting back to some of these news stories, I have a series of things that appear in today's press worldwide in regard to foreign policy and Iran and the American empire. But before I get into that, a couple of other things come to mind. This happens to be President's Day. And when you think of President's Day, I don't know what comes to your mind. In my particular case, I think of a series of American presidents that have expanded their own powers at your expense and mine, and at the expense of the Constitution. Dr. Thomas DiLorenzo, of course, who authored The Real Lincoln and who teaches economics at Loyola College in Baltimore, Maryland, has been a past guest on this show talking about Lincoln and the war between the states. He has a post today entitled Presidential Repression at lewrockwell.com. that I think is well worth the time of all of the listeners. If you can get to that website either now or some future point today or in this week, that really puts, I think, President's Day into its proper perspective. And Dr. DiLorenzo begins as follows in this article entitled Presidential Repression. The neocon pundit Frank Gaffney had his war lust tempered a bit last week when he invoked a fake quote by Lincoln in a Washington Times column in which he viciously attacked congressional opponents of an escalation of the war in the Middle East to Iran and beyond. He called them all traitors by quoting Dishonest Abe as supposedly saying, quote, "Congressmen who willfully take actions during wartime that damage morale and undermine the military are saboteurs and should be arrested, exiled, or hanged," unquote. The source of the quote was a December 23, 2003 Insight magazine column by Michael Waller, who now admits that the quote is not genuine. How disappointed our strange Glovian neocons, a.k.a. the Republican Party, must be. Poor Representative Don Young of Alaska was forced to apologize for calling his congressional colleagues traitors under the supposed cover of Father Abraham, as the Jaffa cult calls him. In a supreme act of humility, Congressman Young confessed to the Washington Post on February 16th that he was, quote, not advocating the hanging of Democrats, unquote. Not yet, anyway. But there is hope for our 21st century Dr. Strangeloves. Even if Lincoln never said the above statement, there is no denying that he did, in fact, arrest and exile Democratic Congressman Clement Vallandigham in 1863. And he and his administration went on record on numerous occasions to say that all those who opposed them were guilty of treason. That's why as many as 30,000 northern citizens or more were imprisoned without due process during the Lincoln regime. The ultimate penalty for treason at the time was death by hanging. In fact, Lincoln believed that anyone who simply remained silent and did not actively support his regime was behaving in a treasonous manner. In his own words, quote, "The man who stands by and says nothing when the peril of his government is discussed cannot be misunderstood. If not hindered, he is sure to help the enemy, much more if he talks ambiguously, talks for his country with buts and ifs and ands." This quote is from Roy Bassler's The Collected Works of Abraham Lincoln, Volume 6, page 264. Waller says that his editor at Insight mistakenly put quotations around the quote, when in fact they were his words, not Dishonest Abe's. If so, then one would have a very difficult time arguing with Waller's interpretation of Lincoln's behavior. When the British captured Washington, D.C. and set the White House on fire during the War of 1812, President James Madison, the quote-unquote father of the Constitution, never dreamed of mass arresting and imprisoning all dissenters, shutting down the opposition press, and deporting congressional opponents of his war policy as Lincoln did. When Jefferson's election as president spawned a secession movement among the New England Federalists, he announced in his first inaugural address that if there were any who wanted to break apart the Union, they should be left unmolested as a testament to the strength of Americans' belief in a free society. It was Lincoln who immediately upon taking office declared himself dictator, ignored the Constitution, abolished civil liberty in the northern states, and waged total war on fellow citizens, killing 300,000 of them because they no longer consented to being governed by Washington, D.C., and politicians like himself. He did all this on behalf of an abstraction he labeled, quote, the mystic cords of union, unquote. This was not unlike how future tyrants will kill hundreds of thousands or millions of their own people for the sake of, quote, creating socialist man, unquote, quote, the master race, unquote, and other collectivist abstractions. The Waller article in Insight is mostly about the Vallandigham affair, of which I write about in my latest book, Lincoln Unmasked. Congressman Vallandigham of Dayton, Ohio, was a huge thorn in the Republican Party's side from the very first day of the Lincoln administration. In his book, Lincoln's Critics, The Copperheads of the North, Frank L. Clement writes that Vallandigham was, quote, one of the most ardent supporters of compromise measures designed to prevent a military conflict between North and South, unquote, before the war. Once the war started, he became known as the Apostle of Peace and worked diligently for an end to the bloodshed and a reuniting of the two sections. He was a free trader, opposed Lincoln's central banking and corporate welfare schemes, was a vociferous opponent to Lincoln's military conscription law, and was a Jeffersonian decentralist philosophically. He once stated that he was, quote, inexorably hostile to Puritan domination in religion or morals or literature or politics, unquote. This, of course, is what happened to America in the post-1865 era with the New Englandization of the entire nation at the hands of the political descendants of the Puritans, or the Yankees, quote-unquote. Clement Vallandigham posed a serious danger to the Lincoln regime, for as Clement wrote, quote, he was an excellent speaker, unquote. On January 14, 1863, Vallandigham gave a stirring pro-peace speech on the floor of the House of Representatives, in which he charged that if the war continued, quote, civil rights would be washed away in the North. The arbitrary arrests, the purging of the polls in the border states, the suspension of the writ of habeas corpus, and the mobbing of Democratic newspapers were all steps toward an eventual despotism, unquote. The Republican Party in Ohio gerrymandered Vallandigham out of his congressional seat, after which he ran for governor of Ohio. He continued to repeat his criticisms of the Lincoln regime, for which he was arrested and imprisoned without due process, after 67 armed federal soldiers broke into his Dayton, Ohio home in April of 1863. Lincoln wanted to portray him as a traitor, so he instructed that he be handed over to his people, quote-unquote, the Confederate Army. The Confederates had no idea who Vallandigham was. He was not one of them, but a former congressman from the state of Grant and Sherman. He went into exile in Canada. Lincoln never showed any respect for constitutional liberty and was a rude, crude political shyster of the worst kind. It is telling that his campaign manager in 1860 was the leader of the notoriously corrupt New York City Tammany Hall political machine, Thurlow Weed. As such, he cleverly brushed aside all the protests over the treatment of Vallandigham. There was, for example, quote-unquote, a groundswell for Vallandigham among the masses, writes Clement. And this cleverly brushing aside of Vallandigham on the part of Lincoln was done with a silly slogan, quote, must I shoot, unquote, a poor boy who deserts from the army, he asked, while not touching a hair on the head of the wily agitator who causes him to desert? This was repeated just last week by Rush Limbaugh. This masks and ignores the serious constitutional issue of the abolition of the separation of powers, whereby one branch of government can literally imprison and deport members of another branch. But such technicalities were never Lincoln's strong point. Intentionally confusing political rhetoric was. Isn't there something sick about the fact that it is Abraham Lincoln, the heavy-handed tyrant and mass murderer of his own people, that appeals so much to the Frank Gaffneys, the Rush Limbaughs, and the Newt Gingriches of the world? Whenever almost any politician or pundit proposes the abolition of more of our personal liberties or embarking on another unnecessary war that will kill thousands without protecting America, but will make more enemies around the world while enriching politically connected defense contractors, he inevitably invokes the legend of Father Abraham as his justification, quote-unquote. When Newt Gingrich called for the invasion and occupation of Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, and North Korea in a September 7, 2006 Wall Street Journal Online article, he naturally began the article with a quote from Lincoln about how we must, quote, think anew, unquote. When townhall.com, the website founded by the Heritage Foundation, advocated sedition trials for opponents of the Bush administration's foreign policies, they invoked the Lincoln legend in a series of articles in 2005 and 2006. Dr. DiLorenzo then cites Horace Cooper's Not a Suicide Pact and Ben Shapiro's Should We Prosecute Sedition in the site's archives. When neocon pundit Michelle Malkin proposed rounding up all American Muslims and putting them in concentration camps, as was done to Japanese Americans during World War II, she praised Lincoln for having suspended habeas corpus and imprisoned thousands, quote, without access to judges, unquote. See her book, In Defense of Internment. And when American Enterprise Institute's resident neocon political scientist Walter Burns wrote a book entitled Making Patriots, complaining that America's youth are too self-centered and not willing enough to participate in the neocon agenda of never-ending war around the globe, Burns offered the solution of more Lincolnite propaganda. We must indoctrinate America's youth with the political rhetoric of Lincoln, quote, our statesman, poet, and the martyred Christ of democracy's passion play, unquote, says Burns. Don't educate them about Lincoln's behavior, he says, for obvious reasons, but, quote, in the power and beauty of his words, unquote. Left-wing statists play this game as much as these right-wing statists do. In a February 1991 article in The Nation magazine, the renowned Columbia University Civil War historian Eric Foner opposed the breakup of the Soviet Union. The title of the article was, quote, Lincoln's Lesson, unquote. He harshly criticized Gorbachev for his weakness in allowing the Soviet republics to peacefully secede, something that Lincoln would never do. The American Union was, quote, a permanent government, unquote, a one-way Venus flytrap, as Murray Rothbard once sarcastically described it. Foner, who once described the Communist Party USA as a, quote, cultural front that helped to redraw the boundaries of American freedom, unquote, hoped that, quote, Gorbachev would surely agree, unquote, that this was also true of the Soviet Union. If you want to live under a government defined by militarism, mercantilism, dictator worship, and imperialism, then continue following the sons, political sons and daughters of Father Abraham, as they continue to invoke their martyred Christ, quote unquote, as rhetorical cover for an agenda that sounds remarkably identical to early 20th century European fascism. Americans once fought a war against such an ideology, if you can recall. That's Dr. Thomas DiLorenzo, the professor of economics at Loyola College in Maryland and the author of The Real Lincoln. He has a new book entitled Lincoln Unmasked, What You're Not Supposed to Know About Dishonest Abe. That's a Crown Forum Random House publication. And this is Dr. DiLorenzo's post at lourockwell.com today, February 19th, 2007, on President's Day. That's a very, very interesting piece, and I would recommend, of course, DiLorenzo's books to you, for we get into the whole business of what did happen in the wake of the American War Between the States in regard to an inversion of the constitutional relationship between the states and the federal government. That trend has never been reversed. And now, of course, we see not only the power of the Leviathan federal government rearing its head, but we're now speaking about the transfer of powers from the federal government to various institutions of world government. And on this President's Day, it seems to me that we have to go back and understand the way in which Abraham Lincoln was foundationally the president who set the stage for it all, and that with some of his followers, including Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt and George W. Bush, that quite clearly something happened in the middle of the 19th century that set the stage for the death knell of the American Republic in a way that has not been reversed in all the time since. Speaking of the American Republic, some days ago we had Chalmers Johnson on this show. If you missed that show, you missed a real treat. He was with us, I believe, a week ago Friday, about 10 days ago. Chalmers Johnson, between 1968 and 1972, was a consultant to the National Intelligence Estimate Processes for the Central Intelligence Agency. He has been an East Asian scholar and political scientist at the University of California, both in San Diego and in Berkeley, for the last 30 years. And he has a new book out entitled Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. Alternet has a post from Chalmers Johnson today that in terms of global empire I want to say something about. But suffice it to say that two or three days ago, I believe it was after my Friday broadcast, I got the complete Chalmers Johnson trilogy, and I'm going to discuss those three books a little bit with you when I come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a three-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
Teach the world to snuff the fires and
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We greet WMQM AM 1600. That's a 50,000-watt station in Memphis, Tennessee. We welcome them to Mark Dankos, America, and to the Republic Broadcasting Network. We also invite people to support the Republic Broadcasting Network, which you can do at republicbroadcasting.org. That's our site at the World Wide Web, republicbroadcasting.org. You can also give us a call at 1-800-724-2719 with your gifts and your messages of support. And at those same contact points, you can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. Again, that's at republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. You can also call me today sometime in the next 2 hours if you have a question or a concern or a comment, and that number is at 1-800-313-9443. That call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Also wanted to mention that at this particular point in the show, we're going to have some frequent commercial interruptions, for the next 10 minutes or so, and then there will be an extended period of time for longer conversation again. But I wanted to get back to Chalmers Johnson. He was a guest on the show 10 days ago, and as I was mentioning, used to be involved in the late 60s and early 70s in the National Intelligence Estimate processes for the Central Intelligence Agency, also a tenured professor of East Asian Studies and Political Science at the University of California. And he has a trilogy of books. The latest one, which is the one we discussed on the air 10 days ago, was Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. That is the third book, as it turns out, in a series. The first book was entitled Blowback, dealing with the whole business of the political blowback that occurs when an empire involves itself in situations abroad that end up with consequences occurring that are not the consequences that the empire originally intended. Johnson, among other things, references what happened in 1953 in Iran as a prototype for what can happen when an empire engages in certain things abroad that lead to later consequences that are not the ones that it originally intended. But that first book is entitled Blowback. The second one is The Sorrows of Empire. And then the third one is the latest one, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. I now have all three of those books and am working my way through them. And suffice it to say that there are a number of very interesting things that emerge in these books, some of which I'm going to discuss after our next commercial break. But Chalmers Johnson goes a long way toward articulating the problems with empire in a way that those of us on the American right who oppose empire can also affirm. One of the curious things, it seems to me, as you look at this issue of empire and interventionism and militarism, is the extent to which the real American left and the real American right can actually agree on a few things. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back. Stay tuned.